Reading from Bhagavad Marichimala. Now we're starting the sixth ray. The sixth ray is called the Science of Transcendental Mellows in Relationship with the Lord. So this is an English way of saying Rasa Tattva. They're all different tattvas or sciences. The word tattva is translated as science here. The science of transcendental mellows in relationship with the Lord. This means rasa, the feelings of love, the exchanges of love between the Lord and His pure devotees. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandraya Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandra. Yena vistarito gora kripaya rasa sagara vaishakika surupam tam ramananda maham vaje. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Ramananda Roy, who is an incarnation of Vishakha, and who spread the ocean of transcendental mellows of Gauranga's mercy. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his Mangalacharana for this chapter on Rasa Tattva, he's offering his pranams to his Ishtadev. His Ishtadev is Chaitanya Chandra, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chandraya. We have our Mayapur Chandrodaya Mandir. Mayapur Chandrodaya. Udaya means rising. The rising moon over Mayapur. So this is Lord Chaitanya was born on the full moon day in Falgun month. And the effulgence of Lord Chaitanya's mercy rose over Bengal and spread all around the world. Especially by the arrangement of great devotees like our Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. So then he offers his obeisances to Rai Ramananda. Rai Ramananda is the incarnation of Vishakha. And Surab Damodar is Lalita. Lalita Sakhi, Surab Damodar, and Rai Ramananda Vishakha Sakhi. So Vishakha Sakhi, she very much knows Radharani. And she knows Rasa. She's made of all the Mahabhav that Radharani has, practically, not all, but Vishakha and Asa Sakhi, they also have Mahabhav. Their bodies are made of Mahabhav. So Mahabhav and this Madhurya Ras is the perfection of all rasas. This Madanakya Mahabhav or Mohanakya. So therefore Ramananda Roy or Vishakha coming into this world as Rai Ramananda is a perfect person to teach Rasa Tattva. So Lord Chaitanya, at least Krishna, in the Bhav and Kanti, the mood of Mahabhava Radharani and the complexion of Radharani, Bhav and Kanti, Krishna appeared in the form of Gauranga. And Gauranga, Krishna wanted to learn the science of loving, of Radha's love. What happiness she experiences by loving me. And what is it in me, what beauty in me she's attracted to. And what is the greatness of her love? Radha Pranaya Mahima. So Krishna wants to understand these things. Well, understanding means knowledge. Knowledge means there must be a teacher. Any knowledge that we acquire, we must receive from a teacher. Either experience is our teacher, or shastras are our teacher, or great spiritual personalities or viparas or brahmins are teaching knowledge. So Krishna came to the school of prema and he studied under Rai Ramananda and Srub Damodar and Gadadhara Pandit. So they were his professors in the school of love, in the school of Radha's prema. So beginning this chapter in Rasa Tattva, which is the sixth ray of Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur invokes the mercy and the memory of Rai Ramananda, who is none other than Vishakha Sakhi. So taking the dust of Vishakha Sakhi on our heads, Bhakti Padaduli Mahabal, and taking the dust of Rai Ramananda on our heads, we're hoping that we can understand. Of course, we're taking the dust of Bhaktivinoda Thakur on our head. We're hoping that we can understand something about this Rasa Tattva, or these mellows of devotion. So the first verse he explains about rasas is that Krishna, and this of course, all this is called This book is called Sri Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, a garland of rays from the sunlight Srimad Bhagavatam. But also, we can think of this title, this book, Arka Marichimala. Arka means the light by which Sri Bhagavan is understood. Sri Bhagavat. Bhagavat means the book Bhagavat, but it also, that book Bhagavat, or Bhagavat Puran, is about a person. The Supreme Personality of God, Lord Sri Krishna, Bhagavan. Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So that Sri Bhagavat means Sri Bhagavan. Sri means Radharani. So ultimately the Bhagavatam is describing the sweet glories and love and divine and divinity of Krishna or God in his fullest expression of Godhead, which is Krishna and Radha. Radha and Krishna. Radha Govinda Yugal. So therefore, part of what we're learning here in all these different tattvas, we've studied Bhagavat Tattva, and we studied Shakti Tattva. Now we're studying Rasa Tattva. And all of these tattvas or sciences come under the category of Sambandha Gyan. There we learn these sciences, we learn these truths, the science of transcendental mellows in relationship with Lord Sri Krishna, so that we can understand what is Krishna's, we can fully understand and have very strong faith and conviction in the identity and position of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Because often, especially Indians, they suffer from a lack of tattva. Their tattva gyan is something weak. So they think Ram is God, Vishnu is God, Narayan's God, Shiva's God, everybody's God. So they don't have the knowledge to make a discrimination, to understand what is the hierarchy. Who is Shiva higher than Brahma? Or is Brahma higher than Shiva? Is Narayan higher than Ram, or Ram is higher than Narayan? Because if we look in an English dictionary, under the word Krishna, it says Krishna, the eighth incarnation of Vishnu. So then it says that Krishna is the eighth incarnation of Vishnu. Means that Vishnu is supreme. So people say, look at the English dictionary, Krishna, look up word Krishna. The eighth incarnation of Vishnu. So Vishnu is the supreme. So there's not clear understanding of tattva. And so we have these misconceptions and these weaknesses in our understanding also. So by in-depth study of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can become very clear about the hierarchy of the absolute. And especially Brihad Bhagavatamrita makes it even more clear. These two books together, Srimad Bhagavatam, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's very clear of the different, who's higher, who's a bigger devotee, Hanuman or Prahlad, or Uddhava or Hanuman, or Yudhisthira or Uddhava, and then why, how and why, and we have to be able to answer this. So this science is given in the Bhagavatam, in terms of tattva, in terms of rasa. So this chapter is rasa tattva. So by this, when we're defining the Sri Bhagavat, the truth about the Lord, and trying to understand our eternal relationship with the Lord, Sambandha Gyan, we're trying to acquire Bhakti Gyan, knowledge of our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we have to understand all these different aspects of the Godhead. We have to understand His own personality and identity. Then we have to understand His energies. Now we have to understand Rasa. Because in all these different categories, Krishna is the Supreme. Especially in rasa. So this first verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is trying to distinguish the identity of Krishna over Ram or Narayan by saying that Krishna, as Rupa Goswami is telling in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says that Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. Akila Rasamrita Murti. That Krishna, not Bhagavan Sri Krishna, not Ram, and not Vishnu or Narayan or any of the Das Avatars. He alone is Akila Rasa Amrit Murti. He is a very embodiment or form of unlimited rasas, nectarian rasas. So we see that, and then there's so many verses and so many pastimes which explain this name of Krishna. And if you take that term, Akila Rasa Amrit Murti, and try to apply it to Ram, you'll see that it won't work. Well, not this definition, that the Supreme Godhead, the Supreme Form of Godhead is Akila Rasamrita Murti. And someone will say, oh, We say Vishnu is. Okay, now prove that Vishnu is, prove that Vishnu has these qualities, of that he is Akila Rasamrita Murti. And they can't. It will fall short. Or Ram. So many, but Krishna, he can reciprocate with everyone. He can exchange rasa with everyone. He's all inclusive. He includes everyone. There's no exclusion. But so many people would come to have rasa with Ram and they would get killed. Shupurnaka, Ravana's sister, came to have rasa, came to have pleasure, rasa with Ram, and he cut her nose, Lakshman cut her nose and ears off. He couldn't accommodate her. So Bhagavan in the form of Krishna is the supreme accommodating form of Godhead. Most accommodating, most inclusive. And then, so this chapter will explain in so many verses to bring us to this understanding, who is this Krishna? Why is he, because so many people say, why do you worship Krishna instead of Ram? Ram is so popular in India. He's popular, he's the popular God. Of course, his popularity is waning now because of Lord Chaitanya's prediction. Lord Chaitanya predicted, my name will be chanted in every town and village. Prithivityachi Nagaradigram. So my name will be chanted in every town and village. So his name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. His name is not Ram. His name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So when we chant Chaitanya's name, then we'll come to know the Ishtadeva of Lord Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna. Radharani and Krishna. So therefore, popularity in Krishna is becoming much, is like expanding exponentially around the world. And Ram is holding his own. He's holding his position on the stock market, on the Godhood stock market. Ram stocks are not losing too much ground. They're still valuable, the believers of Ram. But those that believe in Krishna, they're increasing like anything. Krishna Bhakti, and a big cause of that is ISKCON and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's Ishtadeva is Radha and Krishna, Radha Govinda, Radha Damodar. So this chapter will help us understand. So the first verse that Bhaktivinoda Thakur presents in his explanation of this Rasa Tattva, or the science of transcendental mellows in relationship with the Lord. Because mellow or rasa is only possible with two in a relationship. Like if you have food, or say prasadam, and you have a tongue, jiva. Now, the prasad is there and the tongue is there. Is there rasa? Not until they establish a relationship. There must be some, they must combine together. Because when the prasadam touches the tongue, then it produces ras. Salty, sweet. These are different rasas. Flavors, tastes. We taste salty dal. Lalita. And then we have a ras. Ras of salty dal. So then we take sweet dal, which is vishaka. And then we taste sweet taste. So this... In order to produce rasa, there must be a combining of the ashraya and the vishaya, the object, the enjoyer, and the enjoyed. Then rasa is produced. The enjoyer is the tongue, and the enjoyed is the prasadam. When they come together, then the rasa is performed or created. So the first point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes in this sixth ray describing rasa tattva is that Krishna is a reservoir of all transcendental mellows, which is the way Prabhupada translates this phrase from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which says that Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the embodiment or the very form of unlimited rasas, nectarian, pleasurable rasas. This is 10th canto Bhagavatam, chapter 43, verse 17. Shukadeva Goswami is explaining something about rasa tattva and the very unique and all-encompassing nature of Krishna's love and Krishna's personality as the Swayam Bhagavan. There's Bhagavan Ram and Bhagavan Vishnu, but there's Swayam Bhagavan is only one. Eki Swayam Bhagavan. Purna Bhagavan is Sri Krishna. He says, Malanam Mashanir Rinam Naravara Srinam Smaro Murtiman Gopanam Sajano Satam Shatibujam Shasta Sop Pitro Shishu Mrityor bhoja pater virad avidusham tatvam param yoginam rishinam para devate tivirito rangam gatasa graja. So this is a verse where Shukadev Goswami is explaining all the different ways the living entities or personalities were reciprocating with Bhagavan Sri Krishna in terms of rasa. When Krishna, along with Baladev, went to the wrestling arena of Kansa, this is of course 5,000 years ago, the Dhanur Yajna. Kansa arranged this very elaborate yajna to worship the bow of Lord Shiva, which he had obtained. He worshipped Lord Shiva's bow, which Krishna broke, just like Ram broke. In Ram Leela, Ram broke the bow of maybe Shiva or someone. Was it Shiva's bow? So then in Krishna Leela, then Krishna broke the bow also of Shiva. Of course, Krishna was only 10 years old when he broke the bow, but I think Ramachandra was quite a bit older, right? Because that was part of the Swayamvara. You know or you don't know? You saw the TV? The Swayamvara of Sita and Ram, one thing that was done, at one of the heroes, they had to show their power. So he broke his bow. He was a fully grown man at the time, maybe 30 or 25 or whatever. So then there was a wrestling match and all these things were going on. So when they came there, the people, they saw Krishna in different forms according to their different rasas. For example, there's like a mother, she has a particular bhav, she has a particular ras, vatsalya bhav, vatsalya ras. I am the mother of this son. He is my son. I am his mother. It's called vatsalya bhav. Motherly love, motherly affection, parental affection. And this is in her heart. And this is the vastu, this is the substance of her love, the substance of her bhav. And she's watching the form, the rupam, the rupyatam, or the form of the object of her love. The object of the love is of her love is her son. And that rupam, that form of her son is changing. Sometimes this big baby on her breast, and then crawling on the floor, and then walking, then running, then going to school, and going to college and high school, then getting a job, then becoming prime minister, and a huge figure. But the mother always says, is my son. The prime minister is my son. When I address my son, I don't say, prime minister? Oh, honorable prime minister, I would like to speak with you for a few moments. Because her bhava is such that no matter what form the son shows in front of her, she always sees according to this bhava. Now that very same rupam, that same form of that prime minister who's this lady's mother's son, when he's married to his wife has a certain bhav in her heart, a certain rasa. It's called madhurya ras, conjugal love, conjugal bhav, the love or mood of a wife towards her husband. So she sees a prime minister, she doesn't see him like a mother. Oh, it's my son. She says, it's my husband, the same person. So Krishna is the same person, but according to the bhav and the mood and the rasa in the heart of the onlooker, of the observer, there's a different mood created, different rasa experience. So people saw Krishna in different forms according to their different rasas. Malanam ashaniraninam naravarastrinam. The wrestlers, Malanam, the wrestlers, they were on the platform of Vira Ras. They saw Krishna like a thunderbolt. So the wrestlers, they were the rivals of Krishna. They were going to wrestle with Krishna, Chanura and Mushtika, and Toshala. Chanura, Mushtika, Toshala, Govardhana Mala, and so many wrestlers were there. So when they saw him, they were, Viraras means heroism, chivalry. Like two Kshatriyas challenging each other. Let's fight. And one looks at the other and, oh, he's got big muscles. Okay, my muscles are bigger, you know. And he's tall, but I'm taller. So when they size up their opponent, then it increases their feeling for fighting. So when the wrestlers, when they sized up Krishna, their opponent, they saw, oh, he's not a wimp. He's not a small fry. He's not a small timer. He's like a thunderbolt. Another lightning bolt. Lightning bolt hits a tree, a huge tree, a 300-foot tree. A lightning bolt hits and psh, splits it in half, like you take a piece of grass. Take one blade of grass and shoo, you can rip it in half. So a lightning bolt can take a redwood tree from the sequoia forest. The sequoia, you know, there's redwood and the sequoia. And there's like redwood tree, you can drive a car through it. The trees are so big you can drive a car through it. You've seen? Pictures. The redwood trees of California, they're so big. Some of them are so big they've cut a hole in them and you can drive a car through it. And the tree's still living. It's like 30 feet in diameter. 30 feet in diameter, one tree. And it goes 500 feet tall. Redwoods, the redwood trees in Sequoia National Forest of California, Northern California. They're famous. They see these are prehistoric trees from some ancient time. Red, the wood is red. Redwood. So a lightning bolt hits that and splits it in half like a piece of grass. So when the wrestlers saw Krishna, it's like a thunderbolt. The damsels, the Naravara Strinam Smaro Murtiman, the Strinam. So the wrestlers, it was an arena. It was like a stadium, right? The soccer, what do you call it? The cricket stadium. Jawaharlal Nehru Stadium. It means seats in a seats around a field. So that's what was set up there. There was a pandal set up there in Mathura, and there was wrestling in the middle, and all the people gathered around to watch the tournament. Pakistan versus India. Mathura versus Vrindavan. Heavy match. Heavy match. The Mathura team with Chanura, Mushtika, Toshila, and Govardhan Mala. And then the Vrindavan team with the invincible KV. KVT, the Krishna Balaram team. Krishna Balaram Temple, KVT. So there were different, and everyone is rooting for the different parties. The wrestlers, and then the ladies are sitting there to watch. They saw, when they saw Krishna, what did they see? They were on the platform of Madhura Ras. They saw him as Smaro Murtiman. Smara means love. Cupid. He's a Murti. He's a Murti of Cupid. Murti of love. He's a sugar daddy. he was a personification of love. Murtiman. Strinam Smaro Murtiman. Naravara. Naravara Strinam Smaro Murtiman. Smaro Murtiman. So the wrestler's psalm is a thunderbolt. It means death. Thunderbolt means death, destruction, burned up. Then the ladies of Mathura, they saw he's Cupid. It's a personification of Cupid is coming here. Then, because that was their bhav, they were in this mood of conjugal love. Maybe they were married. When they saw this beautiful personality, Krishna said, "Oh, my husband's a piece of junk. My husband's nothing. What? Look at this guy. Wow, I've heard about this Vrindavan Chandra, but now I'm seeing him in full buffery bop. Unbelievable." So this is how the different rasas, how Krishna is reciprocating with everyone and pleasing everyone. Everyone's pleased. The heroes, the wrestlers, Malanam, they saw him, they were in Viraras, they wanted to fight, they're in chivalry and challenge. So they saw him, oh, he's like a thunderbolt, it's going to be a good fight. So they were satisfied. The wrestlers were satisfied because their Viraras, their ras, that mood, that bhav for fighting, for challenge, it was awoken and stimulated. They're thinking, whoa, this is going to be a hell of a good fight. We're going to defeat him. But he looks like a powerful thunderbolt. So they were satisfied. And then the ladies in the audience, Strinam Smaro Murtiman. The ladies in the audience, they saw Krishna as a form of Cupid. Because they had that bhav. They saw, so Krishna reciprocated with them and they became satisfied. But when Shapurnaka came to Ram and she wanted reciprocation to become satisfied, Ram, Lakshman cut her nose off. See the difference? That's why Ram is not Akila Rasamritamurti. So he just sat, he displeased so many people. What about Bali and Sugriv? He shot Bali in the back or something? So when they were fighting, and then Ram hid behind a tree and shot Bali in the back. So this is not the way to do. It's definitely against chivalry. So was Bali satisfied with that reciprocation? Obviously not. So this is why Ram doesn't qualify as a Kila Rasamrita Murti. When Krishna, you see, only when Krishna kills someone, they get liberated. When Ram kills someone, there's no liberation. Any description of Bali getting liberated when he was killed? No. There's so many points. If you study, you'll see. Especially this point, these points. The human beings saw Krishna as the king of the world. Acha, Naravara. Nrinam Naravara. So this term, Nrinam Naravara. Nrinam means the ordinary people, the human beings, they saw him as Naravara. Naravara, Vara means the best of the Naras. Naravara. It means not Vara. Vara means the best of, the greatest of all the Naras. So the greatest of all the Naras is the emperor, the king. So they saw him as the king of kings. Oh, this little boy, this little 10-year-old boy, he's 10 and a half years old when he came to Mathura to wrestle. He's huge wrestler. You can imagine Chanara and Mushtika, they were like sumo wrestlers. You know sumo wrestler? You see? Are they skinny like you? They're like, one wrestler is like 20 of you? I have that car, sumo, right? The sumo car? So their rasa, the human beings, their rasa is Adbhuta ras. Adbhuta is one of the gona rasas, or secondary rasas. This is an example of Adbhuta ras. The coward men of Braj, now the coward men is Gopanam Swajano Saktam Shiti Bhujam. The coward men of Braj, because he also brought his cheerleaders. Krishna brought the coward men to cheer for him. So the Vrindavan team, everyone was like, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. And the Mathura team is, Mathura, Mathura. So all the Kansas men, they were on one side of the stadium cheering for the Mathura soccer team or cricket team. But Krishna had his fans. His fans were cheering, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. So when the coward men that came with Krishna, when they saw him, they saw him as a form of Sakya and Vatsalya Ras. So some of those gopas, the coward men of Braj who belonged to the platform of Sakya and Vatsalya Ras, saw Krishna as their beloved child or friend. So some of the gopas were younger, contemporaries of Krishna, so they saw him as a friend. And some were older, like Nanda Maharaj's age, Nanda Maharaj is also there. So they saw Krishna like their son. The frightened, sinful kings saw him as their ruler. This is an example of Roja Ras, or Rudra, Rodra, a fear, Ruja. So the kings that, the frightened, sinful kings were afraid, and so they were seeing Krishna as a personification of death. Mrityu Sarva Harascham. Well, actually, I can't say that. That actually, these sinful kings who were allies of Kamsa, They were afraid. They weren't exactly afraid of death, but they were trembling a little bit. They were They were feeling some fear. So there's something ominous here. When Krishna and Balaram come into this wrestling match in this arena, there's some ominous negative vibration here. Krishna's mother and father, his parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, they saw him as their beautiful child. This is a combination of Vatsalya Ras, which is Mukya Ras, and Karuna Ras, which is a secondary Ras, supporting Ras, which means compassion. Kamsa, the king of the Bhoja dynasty, he saw Krishna as inevitable death. Mrityu Sarvaharas Chaham. Mrityu, death has come before me to take away everything. Sarvaharas. Death personified. So this is an example of the reflection of Bayanaka Ras, which is fear. This Roja Ras is actually anger. This is fear. People with mundane mentality saw Krishna as Virata Rup. This is their Bibhatsa. What does Bibhatsa mean? Wonder, I think. Wonder. Yogis who were in the mood of Shantaras, they saw him as the absolute truth. There's some yogis there also in the audience. I guess even yogis like a good wrestling match. Yogis have to have a little recreation. Just sitting around doing yoga all the time gets a little boring. It's like sometimes our devotees, they chant Hare Krishna, but then they need recreation. So especially in Bombay, they like to go see some Maya movie or something once in a while, right? Or go see some Maya movie or watch some cricket match on TV or something. I need a little relaxation. R&R. So it appears that this is an old... It's nothing new. Don't feel bad about it. Bhakti yogis, eventually that'll come out of the system when one gets higher taste. But it says even the yogis, what are yogis doing in a wrestling match? The yogis were in a wrestling match. In Mathura, usually yogis are in the forest doing their yoga. In sixth chapter of Gita, Krishna says Ashtanga yoga can only be performed alone. Not with anyone else. Alone, in the forest, like this. There's no such thing as having yoga class, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 27 Fifth Avenue, New York, Apartment 5. Yoga class, Gurgaon, Sector 17. 6 to 8 o'clock every night. This is all BS. This is all bogus. There's no such thing. This is just gymnastics. They should just say gymnastic class, exercise class. But if you say exercise class 6 to 8, everyone will think, oh, what's this exercise? I can walk around the block. So they call it yoga, and then they give it fancy names, Tantra yoga, Kundalini yoga, this yoga, that yoga. And it's all just, exercise.
Power yoga.
Because everyone wants power. And then money yoga. Power, money, all kinds of yogas. So it's like this. All these people in the wrestling match, they saw in all different ways, they saw Krishna. So the yogis, they were there. Of course, you could also say they wanted to see Krishna. They were in the caves or over there somewhere, and they heard that Krishna's coming to Mathura, so they came out of their cave to have darshan. That's also there. That's the positive way to look at it. They didn't come there for a wrestling match. They came there to have darshan of Krishna. So we'd rather think like that. Give the yogis a fair shake. Give the yogis the benefit of the doubt. Don't think of the yogis. The yogis aren't like us. We would go just for the wrestling match, right? The descendants of the Brishni dynasty who belonged to the platform of Dasyaras, they saw Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead. So Dasyaras means servant and master. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. There is one supreme master and all others are servants. So in Dasyarati, or the mood of a servant, if you're in the mood of a servant, then you have to have a master. So the Brishni dynasty, the relatives of Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna's dynasty, they were seeing him as God, the master, Ishvara Parama Krishna. So this is very interesting. When you try to analyze the mind of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just imagine if you were going to present Rasa Tattva, the truth of the science of Krishna's mellows, and use Bhagavatam as a praman, how would you do it? What verses would you present? And what would be the progression of your theme? Because if you're writing a theme, or like you have in college, you have to write a theme, there's some progression, opening paragraph, statement of purpose, and you develop the points and conclusion. There's some science to writing. So in the first text, in the science of mellows, he shows how Krishna, this is a very common example is given in other scriptures also when they're discussing rasa. They often cite this verse about Krishna entering the wrestling match at Mathura. Because there's so many different kinds of people there, and Krishna reciprocated with each person and satisfied them. They were satisfied, because when your rasa is stimulated, there's satisfaction. So this ability, this is the unique ability of Krishna, that he satisfies everyone. No one goes away sad. No one goes away empty-handed. No one goes away unfulfilled. So now he's presenting this rasa and how Krishna reciprocates with the rasas of all living entities, of everyone, whether friend or foe, enemy or whatever. He reciprocates according to their bhav, according to their viewpoint. For example, we gave this example of Shapurnaka, or again, there's the example of the sages at Naimisharanya, Dandakaranya sages, and there's the Shrutis, there's so many. The sages saw Ram and they had conjugal feelings when they saw Ram with Sita. And then they thought, and they expressed that to Ram, and Ram said, I can't satisfy you, but when I come as Krishna, then I can satisfy you. So they became gopis. And Shapurnaka, she was got her ears and nose cut off, but then she got a blessing. Ram said, this is not my form of God is Maryada Avatar. I'm not Akila Rasamurti. Akila Rasamrita Murti, that's Krishna. So I can't help you. So then she came back. Shapurnaka came back as Kubja. And Kubja, of course, entered Mathura, and then Krishna reciprocated with her and fully satisfied her beyond her wildest dreams. So now, presenting these different personalities that are engaging in Vira Ras and Roja Ras, and basically all the rasas are pretty much mentioned here. The five primary or Mukhya rasas and the seven secondary or Gona rasas. There's 12 basic rasas that are available in relationship with Bhagavan. So then he presents that for our understanding and for our study. Then the next text, he explains what happens if you're a rasagya, if you're a knower of ras, if you actually know ras, when you read the shastras, if you know rasa tattva, then when you read these rasa shastras like Srimad Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita Chaitanya Bhagavat, then you relish so much happiness. So he quotes a verse from the first canto of Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, verse 19, where the sages at Naimisharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi, they were asking Suta Goswami a question. Because Suta Goswami is going to speak the Bhagavatam to them, and in that discussion of the Bhagavatam, he's going to reveal so many rasas between Bhagavan and his devotees, and different forms of Bhagavan with his devotees. So because, as I mentioned, the Srimad Bhagavatam is a rasa granth. It is full of rasa. So he begins right in the very early, chapter 1, verse 1, text 19. I mean, chapter 1, canto 1, chapter 1, verse 19. Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yachchinvatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade swadu swadu. O Suta Goswami, he says, I mean, actually, the sages in the Naimisharanya, they're explaining to Suta Goswami, because Suta Goswami is teaching them and speaking to them, and they're showing their gratitude, and very early on, how eager they are to hear, and how they say, "O Suta Goswami, all of the sages gathered here, all these sages and rishis, some had long jata and." Some blonde-headed sages and black-headed sages, big duddy, big beards and long sikas, and some bald-headed sages and some afro afro hairdo. And then he says, "We are not satiated by hearing the pastimes of Krishna, for." Persons who are conversant with the mellows of Krishna consciousness relish those pastimes at every moment. Swadu, swadu, pade, pade. Uttama shloka vikrame. So that Krishna, who is that Krishna who performs heroic and wonderful deeds, Vikram Krishna. And for those heroic and wonderful exploits and pastimes, Krishna is glorified in selected shlokas, and it's called Uttama Shloka, very wonderful transcendental verses. And the Yachchinvatam Rasa Gyanam, those that actually know rasa, they have knowledge of the science of rasa. What happens? What happens if you have knowledge of the science of rasa? Rasa Gyan. If you know the science of the rasas, what happens? What did I say? Swadu, pade, pade. Did we know about this pade, pade? Have you ever heard this verse before? Yeah, where is that? Cheto Darvanam Arjanam Pradipadam Pratipadam Purnamrita Swadhanam. You see, you have to see connections. What you know, what something new comes, you import it into your mind and mix it with what you know and try to increase what you understand. Oh, swadhu, swadhu. I have heard this term before. And then it says pade pade. So pade pade, step after taste, swadhu, swadhu. I taste. So someone who knows the rasa, then he will relish someone who's conversant with the mellows of Krishna consciousness. That's how he translates. Rasa gyan. He knows the five mukhya rasas. And he knows the seven secondary rasas. And he knows vyavachari bhav. And he knows vibhav and anubhav. And ashtasattvic bhavs. He knows his science. This is called rasa gyan, the science of rasa. In other words, that means he's red nectar devotion. So it's not so confusing. Everyone's looking like, what's all this? You know, vyavachari bhavs, anubhavs, vibhavs. No, this is all revealed in 1969. Prabhupada taught this in 1969. That was only 40 years ago. So you've had 40 years to study it. 40 years to read it. Have you read it?
No.
Well, you have 40 more to go. So it's better late than never. So then this is called Rasagyan. Yachchinvatam Rasagyanam Swadhu 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 Pade Pade. So those Rasagya, those that know Rasa, when they hear Yachchinvatam, when they hear about Krishna's Leela and Krishna's Guna, Guna Kata or Leela Kata, then they relish. They relish great happiness, great satisfaction. Just like when you eat Sorso Ke Sag. Was it? Anyway, that junk. And Maki Ki Roti. Then you feel, oh, you think this is very good. It is very nice, very tasty. Swadhu, swadhu. Tasty, tasty. Bite after bite. So good. Because you know about the science of eating. You know the science of eating very well. Swadhu, swadhu. Tasting, tasting. Bite after bite. But if you didn't have any knowledge, if you had no knowledge, what is sweet, what is salty, what is bitter, what is pungent, then what could you do? What could you taste? Couldn't.
Maharaj, even those who are not anukulya, I mean, who are not wanting to please Krishna, even they are fully satisfied?
Yeah. Krishna's not, but they are. That's what bhakti is. Bhakti means that Krishna's satisfied. Whether you're satisfied or not, it doesn't matter.
Like, I'm thinking of some characters in Mahabharata, like Duryodhana. Even he approached Krishna.
Yeah, and according to his bhav, and he was
envious towards Krishna.
Yeah.
How was he fully satisfied?
Because that was his mood. He chose that to be his operating mood. That was his bhav, that he wanted to see Krishna. He wanted to see Krishna that way. So Krishna revealed that, allowed him to continue that. He didn't want to give up. He wanted to hold on to his envy. He wanted to be envious, so Krishna let him keep his envy. Just like we may be envious of Krishna. Is every single jiva is envious of Krishna. Bhagavad Gita says, Icha dvesha smutena dvando mohena bharata. Every living entity in this material world is born with desire and hatred, means envy of God. But we're envious of God, but somehow by good fortune, by sukriti, by sarasanga, by study, basically sukriti, we come to the idea that, oh, I'm envious of God, and I want to enjoy separately from God, but maybe I should serve God. So then, if our attitude becomes pleasing, then Krishna will remove the envy. Cheto Darvanam Arjuna. So he never changed his attitude. Duryodhana was cursing Krishna, or was it Duryodhana or Shishupal? I think it was Shishupal. From the time he was a baby, he was cursing Krishna. It was Shishupal. When he came out, he was, oh, Krishna's a piece of crap. You know? And the whole life he kept that attitude. Although he heard so much and saw so much, then Krishna, okay. You know. So then he explains, this is kind of like a something to incite us, that that I'm going now, I am Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I'm going to reveal the science of Rasa Tattva in this Sri Bhagavat Arkamrichi Mala. And it's a very good thing. I want everyone to hear this chapter and everyone to study this chapter. And then someone might say, well, why should I read this chapter? What's the benefit of reading this chapter? And then he says, oh, Bhagavatam is saying, if you're the sages at Namisharanya, Shonaka and others are saying, oh, Sutta, if someone is a rasagya, if someone knows this science, gyan means science, gyan. So if someone knows this science, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur is about to unveil here through the verses of Bhagavatam in this sixth ray, if someone knows this science of rasa, it's very good. Who's it good for? It's good for you. Well, what good will it do? What good? It'll give you relish. You'll be swadu, swadu, pade, pade. At every moment, you'll enjoy. You'll really enjoy. You'll relish the Bhagavatam. Now we relish the newspaper. We relish the newspaper, relish the magazines and the TV news. So much color, so much, and all the newspapers are in color. Try to sell a newspaper now that's black and white. It won't sell. But 20 years ago, was there any color newspapers? Did they sell newspapers? So people's tastes have changed. They want more variety. Same old stale, rotten news. There's colored pictures. Not only that, 20 years ago, you could read the whole paper. Count how many pictures of women you've seen in a newspaper 20 years ago. Any? Zero. Zero. You can't remember because you grew up with these kind of newspapers. But 20, 30 years ago, there's no women. Now look at a newspaper. There's five in every page. Why? Because they're trying to incite people's passion. Buy this product, buy that product. Fuel the fires of passion and greed. Increase the greed. Because what's the newspaper all about? The newspaper's all about making money. How do they make money? By advertising. What are they advertising? Products. And who's going to buy the product? A greedy person. So unless I increase your greed, you won't buy the product. Right? So how do I increase your greed? By putting naked women in the newspaper. You get all jacked up. You get all excited. Wow, wow, wow. And it says, you go, wow, wow, wow. And it says, buy this television. Yeah, okay. I'm all jacked up. Well, it's just a plain old newspaper and you're trying to sell a TV, a black and white newspaper and a black and white TV. Go back. No one's going to buy it. So this is the modern advertising. It's cheating everyone. So people, they have rust for this. So Bhaktivinoda is trying to say, listen, if you learn this science of rust, then you'll relish. Swadu, swadu. But then you'll say, newspapers. As my grandfather, he was pretty funny. He used to say, because he wasn't very fond of newspaper, he said, the only thing a newspaper is good for is wrapping a fish. You go to the market, because they didn't have, in those days, they didn't have plastic bags and all this kind of stuff. You know, you can't imagine life without plastic bags. Because you're all plastic, the plastic generation. Plastic people, plastic watch, plastic clothes, plastic smile, plastic brain, plastic everything. In old days, there was no plastic, so people are more real. Objects are more real. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Bhagavat Richimala ki.